Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old tree and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest and I felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, I don't always nitpick. This is Wretched Radio. I don't know if you caught the video that we posted last Friday on the YouTube machine. I believe it is one of the, if not the most important video we've ever posted on social media. Why? Because it reveals a doctrine that I think has been hidden from far too many believers and has been absent from virtually every gospel presentation I've ever heard. The doctrine of adoption was esteemed by the Reformers, by the Puritans, by really any good theologian, as it, not to suggest that justification isn't magnificent, but that justification serves the greater doctrine of adoption, because justification forgives our sins. Adoption brings us into God's family, where we experience towardness and withness with God, no longer enemies, now friends, seated at his table, courtesy of Jesus Christ. And it is my opinion and observation over the course of the last 25 years that evangelicals have basically lost the scent. We've forgotten what the gospel is. We assume that the hearer knows far more than they probably do. And we've been presenting the gospel in a less than glorious way. Furthermore, I'm not sure most gospel presentations contain enough truth for an individual to fully understand the gospel. So we made a video. It's titled, Why Are Most Christians Missing This? I encourage you, please go watch it and please share it. Most likely somebody you know needs to hear the amazing good news of the gospel that, like, we used to say in evangelicalism is about a relationship, because it is. It's a religion, but it's also a relationship with God. Number of people commented, however, that I was being a little bit nitpicky. And while I really did try to stave those critiques off by saying, I'm not critiquing Wesley Huff, who appeared on the Joe Rogan program to talk about Christianity for 3 hours. In fact, I praised his efforts. I said he did a magnificent job. My critique was not of Wesley Huff. It was of those who said, look, Joe Rogan heard the gospel. And my critique was Joe Rogan heard a lot about the gospel, but it wasn't a gospel presentation per se. And some people thought, well, they disagreed. Fair enough. But simply to demonstrate I'm not just, hopefully not at all, nitpicky, would like to share with you another clip from Wesley Huff. He's appearing on a podcast, the Julian Dory podcast. This is an individual, 31 years old, not a believer. And he asked a great question. What do you think is the biggest misconception about Christianity? And I thought Wes Huff did an outstanding job presenting the gospel because all of the elements were there. Furthermore, he even added the coda that I suggested we make sure we put onto our gospel presentations. And that is, there's an end. The means is justification. The end is adoption. So please enjoy. Wesley, by the way, if you're an evangelist, and you should be, because all Christians are called to always be ready to give the reason for the hope that lies within them, to make the most of every opportunity. This might be something that you can use when comparing Christianity to other systems.
I think Christianity is probably more simple and more complex than a lot of people realize.
Okay.
I think it's more simple in the sense that Scripture is clear on what it's meant to be clear on, that we are sinners, that we need a savior, that we cannot save ourselves.
Excellent. Good stuff. Now, could he open up the law to show him that? You bet. In fact, I encourage that. But these are the components that must be in a gospel presentation.
and that God himself steps out of eternity and into humanity, into depravity in the second person of the Trinity in Jesus and takes the penalty for our wrongdoing, for the evil that exists here. We're very concerned with the evil out there, but there's a lot of evil in here. And Jesus takes that upon himself on the cross. Mm. And I think when I study world religions, what I find interesting is that all world religions amount to either an aspect of mercy or justice. So I would say, if you look at something like a lot of the Eastern philosophies that have karma incorporated within them, it is wholly just, right? Buddhists are trying to break the cycle of samsara. Samsara is the cycle of birth, life, death, and rebirth.
Okay.
So the purpose of Buddhism is to seek enlightenment in things like the Seven Noble Truths, the Eightfold Path, in realizing that it's your attachment to desire in the physical world that is rooting you in that system. And that when you realize that you can release desire, then you can become one with the universe, right? So they're seeking to destroy the self in that sense. Hmm. But the system that operates on that in karma is just. The same thing in
terms. But before he gets on to the next world religion, the young man that he's talking to is not a believer, young. So he's in the demo of kids who are hate God, apparently. Well, listen to his tone. I was reading the article just this morning, somebody observing, because so many high profile people are at least contemplating Christianity, it makes it easier for others to do likewise. This kid is being polite. And I think that he's actually like, learning stuff here. And that is instructive too. That is why we can't assume anything in a gospel presentation, Wesley Huff continues.
Of its iteration within Hinduism. It's just, you do get your just punishment. What you do in this life, either good or bad, reflects in the next life. Whereas I would look at Islam as one that is merciful in the sense that every chapter of the Quran, except for one, starts off with this phrase, Bismillah, God the most benevolent, the most merciful. However, I think when you study world religions, one thing you see is that the justice of karma is at the expense of mercy.
Excellent.
And the mercy of Islam is at the expense of justice.
Wait. Ponder that. He's going to explain it.
The justice of karma is at the expense of mercy.
So mercy is not getting what you do deserve. So karma doesn't allow for mercy. You will always get what you deserve.
Ah.
Islam, the God of Islam forgives, but I would argue that he forgives arbitrarily in that his law is not accounted for. There is no justice for when the law is broken. He just forgives it. But what about the justice in that situation? What about the person who's been wronged?
I'm sorry, I can't help it, but I think I heard some Canadians sneaking in there when he was talking to Boot some of these things.
But on Christianity, though, you have an all-forgiving God.
That's what I'm getting at. Okay. So I think this is one of the things that people don't often realize about Christianity is mercy and justice are perfectly measured in that when Christ takes the penalty that we deserve, the full wrath of God is put on Jesus on the cross. So it's not just the physical that Jesus experiences with the crucifixion, which is pretty terrible, but he actually experiences all of the sin that we commit on himself. Mm. And in that sense, God's law is fulfilled in its justice. And because it's fulfilled, now, because Christ gets the punishment we deserve, now we get what we don't deserve in mercy. But God's law is not broken. He doesn't just forgive it, right? Because God is a holy God and he cannot just forgive at random because forgiveness is costly. But forgiveness is not costly for the God of Islam. He can just do it. But if I, you know, knock over all these cameras and break them, and you say, you know what? It's okay. You didn't mean to do it. There's still a cost. It's just not on me. It's on you, right? But you have been merciful to me. But that forgiveness is very costly to you. And so what we see in Christianity is that the cost of the punishment of sin is fulfilled. Christ takes that upon himself, knowing that we cannot do it. And then mercy is given out. And not just mercy, but grace. Hmm. So mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve.
This is excellent stuff. And I don't know how deep it is being received into the ears of the young man who's interviewing Wesley Huff, but this is outstanding apologetics. No, it's not. This isn't apologetics. This is an explanation of the uniqueness of Christianity, that it accounts for justice, but it also accounts for mercy. The other systems, they might do one, but they don't do both. And that is the uniqueness of Christianity. Now, what makes this little encounter, I thought, so extraordinary was what we were talking about in the video that I still encourage you, please go watch it and please share it with people because it explains what Wesley Huff is about to talk about. And that is this gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a peace treaty between you and God where you will never be declared an enemy again. You will always be a friend of God because of the work of Jesus Christ. And I believe in this clip, if I recall, he does talk about adoption, being brought into a relationship with God. Now, there's a pretty good chance that if you remember in the 90s and the early 2000s, it was kind of gack, you know, evangelical Christianity. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. And I've never rejected that slogan. What I reject is, if there's any part of it that I would say isn't accurate, is that Christianity, of course, is a religion, but it is a relationship that is the centerpiece. And that centerpiece is the person and work of Jesus Christ, who makes sinners God's friends. Question, did you know that? Question, have you been sharing that? We'll continue with Wesley Huff next on Wretched Radio.
Big news from Fortis. As you know, we have 8 fellows already bringing you free daily content at fortisplus.org. Now we're adding someone incredible to the mix, our very first fellowette. Starting February 7th, Libby Glosson, one of the finest biblical counselors in the country, will be joining the team. She'll be doing a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. Not because we're trying to check some type of box, but because she's that good. See what I mean? February 7th at fortisplus.org.
We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds, this is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Thanks to faithful supporters just like you, our new Fortis Institute podcasts aren't just reaching people, they're making waves. Every single one of our new shows ranks at least in the top 10% of all podcasts worldwide, some climbing even higher than that. But here's the thing, we can't continue this vital work without your help. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God, but let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over 3 decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at FortisPlus.org or all major podcast platforms.
An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today, but just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What we see in Christianity is that the cost of the punishment of sin is fulfilled. Christ takes that upon himself, knowing that we cannot do it. And then mercy is given out, and not just mercy, but grace. So mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve.
That is the voice of Wesley Huff, a Canadian apologist who did a bang-up job presenting the gospel to an unbeliever who hosts a podcast whose name is Julian Dory, explaining the components, the elements of the gospel. At its core, there is a judicial element that God is the just judge of all the earth, and he has a courtroom, and he's going to bring every criminal into that court, kicking and screaming, mostly silent and trembling. And he's going to open up the books, and he will be just, and he will give them what they have earned for themselves. But that is not the end of Christianity. And a video that we posted last Friday that Joel Osteen tried to have taken down. Well, actually, he did. I suspect you know this. Videos, if you allow them to play commercials, are monetized. So if you get 100,000 views, I don't know how many dollars you get, but you get money. And there are people who make a living. Ask Mr. Beast, makes a very good living at YouTube videos. And if you, however, have a complaint filed against you by somebody who says, hey, they use too much of our production, too much of our material, well, then you can get a strike, you can get pulled down, or you can get demonetized. And so it is, Joel Osteen's folks got a hold of YouTube and said, we don't like that they used our pastor in that video clip. So we cut it down to 14 seconds of Joel Osteen. 14 seconds, which I thought would be covered under fair usage because it was a critique of him. But nope, that didn't satisfy the Osteen and YouTube people. So we're demonetized and I don't care because I believe that that video could be so helpful perhaps for you, whether personally or in your gospel presentations or in sharing it with somebody who has perhaps been under the impression that Christianity is just about rule keeping. Of course, there's an aspect of rule keeping. Of course, everything has rules to it. Christianity is certainly no exception, but that's not what makes Christianity magnificent. What makes it incredible is that Jesus Christ died for sinners so that, in a clause, so that we could be made friends with God himself. Wow! That's a gospel that is worth dying for. And by the way, all of the disciples did. Wesley Huff appeared on the Joe Rogan program, talked about the gospel for 3 hours, recently appearing on this program with Julian Dory. And guess what? He includes all of the elements that I talked about in that YouTube video. It's titled, Why Are Most Christians Missing This? Well, please find it. Please watch it. Please share it. Because I think people can get saved from it. And I think that wobbly knees could be strengthened for those believers who just always think that their performance is what is necessary to keep them, well, they wouldn't even go so far as to say friends with God, just not being smited by God. It's titled, Why Are So Many Christians Missing This? Wesley Huff, when he appeared on the Julian Dory program, he now, different places, different times, that's okay. One of the things that I'm actually appreciating about his explanation, I don't know how many times Wesley Huff has explained the judicial nature of Christianity, that mercy and justice are mingled, that we see both accounted for in Christianity, whereas you don't in other world systems. I suspect he spoke these words before, but it doesn't sound like it, does it? It sounds fresh and it sounds natural. And so, sure, the order can be out because you don't want to just be, but don't interrupt me. I've got to get to the next point here. He's just letting it go, letting it flow, trying to stay on course and weaving in the who, what. Those are the elements that I believe should be in a gospel presentation. Who is God? Who are we? What do we deserve? What has God done for us? How should we respond? What should our response be to the good news that Jesus died for sinners? He includes all of those elements, but then he also includes, and you're about to hear it, the relational aspect of the gospel?
So mercy is you deserve sin and hell. You don't get it any longer. But now, not only are you forgiven, but God then adopts you as a child.
Way to go.
You don't deserve that.
Way to go, Wesley. Well done.
So you're not just forgiven. You are adopted into his family and given eternal life.
Maybe it's getting late and I'm getting twisted in my head now.
Sure.
But like the concept of grace in Christianity, doesn't that tie back to the early concept you were talking there about the just forgiving God in the Quran, in Islam?
No, because grace is a gift. So inherently to what it is because God's law has been fulfilled and it doesn't just go unjustly punished, right? So if you committed a heinous crime and you stood at the seat of the judge and the judge said, Julian, you're a good guy. You got no priors. I'm just going to let you go, right? That would be merciful, but everybody would be like, dude, like what about justice, right? Or if he said, I know you have no priors, but you're a pretty terrible person. I'm going to throw the book at you, right? Life in prison. We're going to, there's no death penalty, but we're going to try to reform the system in order to get the death penalty, right? That would be justice to the extreme, but it would not be merciful.
Eye for an eye.
So now, if the judge not only says, okay, you're forgiven, but I'm going to pay the penalty, I'm going to pay the fine, I'm going to go to prison for whatever the conviction is, and then you're going to be able to stay in my house as one of my own children.
There it is again. Well done, dude.
Right, that's grace. You're not just being let off the hook. You're being given something. You're being given something you don't deserve.
Hmm.
And so within Christianity, you have something that's inherently unique in that in all other systems of religiosity, it's some form of survival of the fittest, right? It's some form of do this and you're accepted, feel this and you're accepted, or think this and you're accepted, right? Intellectualism, emotionalism, and what was the third one I had? Experientialism, right? It's one of those three things. However, Christianity says you can't feel, do, or think enough. It's not going to work. You're not going to live up to the standard of a holy God. And so it's not survival of the fittest. It's not the most intelligent or the most spiritual or the most the people who have the greatest revelations. Instead, the fittest steps down and sacrifices himself for the survival of the weakest.
That's also excellent stuff. The last shall be first, the first last, the one who is highest, the most exalted, stooped the lowest, that we might be raised up. What a gospel.
That's what we call the gospel. That's the good news, is that it's subverting the system. And I would argue Christianity, in what a lot of people might not understand in the gospel, is that it's a combination of all those things. It marries mercy and justice. It has this component of grace that's very unique. And then it reverses the works-based system of all the other religions, where it's up to you. Just do, just think, just feel enough, and you'll be accepted. Whereas the Bible says, no, you're accepted. Now do, now feel, now think. It's a very different paradigm.
I've never heard that interpretation before. That's fascinating. There's a lot there. That can get your head tied for sure. Just like trying to think of the definitions.
Now, I think that also is instructive. This is a young man who's not adult. He's 31. He's been living in this country now for 3 decades. And yet he's never, that was the gospel. Never heard it. Never heard it. And I think that that is just, I think that does nothing but support my argument that we are assuming that people understand this stuff. They simply do not. We need to be more thorough in our gospel presentations. Now, having, I think, showered accolades on Wesley and not knowing what was said next. This was a YouTube video. We just grabbed it so we could walk through it. I don't know what else the conversation was, but I would make this distinction. And I don't know what Wesley did after this point because we don't have it. But everything that Wesley just said was about the gospel. He explained the gospel. But I think if we're going to be those who call people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, we need to confront people with the gospel. So you just heard gospel truth. What are you going to do with that, Julian? Are you going to believe that God sent his son to die for sinners? Are you going to humble yourself before his mighty hand and put your trust in Jesus Christ? If not, Julian, God Almighty's going to cut you down and he's going to get you. And it's going to be a miserable eternity. Julian, please consider these things today earnestly and urgently so that you might be saved from the wrath that is to come and brought into a warm filial relationship with God. It's an offer you shouldn't refuse, Julian. That's more than presenting the gospel. That's issuing a clarion call. You must deal with Jesus Christ. You must, if you will, render a verdict, make a decision, to use evangelical lingo. Is it true or is it false? And whatever you happen to do with it, you are going to experience it. If you fail to repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ, you will discover and you will learn fatally that the gospel of Jesus Christ is absolutely true. So let us learn from the Joe Rogan experience, the Julian Dory experience, all of the observations that people are hearing the gospel. Let's do better at being more thorough, never assuming any detail, and not stopping with the doctrine of justification, but highlighting justification through the doctrine of adoption. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.